to John
chapter 16. John chapter 16, and we left off at verse 23. Well, let's read verse 22 to get some context. "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Well, that is a wonderful promise, isn't it? When you belong to the Lord, even though you may have times of sorrow and difficulty, affliction and trial, men cannot take away the joy that God gives His elect. Now, verse 23 and 24 deal with the power of prayer. And that's the title of our message tonight. "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Now in verse 23, Jesus explains that after His resurrection and His ascension into heaven, He would no longer be physically present for the disciples to ask Him questions or to inquire of Him. I mean, up to this point, they have been with Him for 3.5 years. When they had a question, when they were troubled, when they needed answers, they were able to just look Him right in the eye and talk to Him, man to man. But He would be ascending up into heaven. So there's a transition coming where instead of asking Him person to person, they would go to the Father in heaven with their requests, their supplications, their questions, and they would do that in prayer. And He tells us specifically how they are to go to God in prayer. And the same holds true with us. We are to go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we are to come to God in prayer. This is not just something that we tack on at the end of a time of prayer, just say, "In Jesus' name." No, when we come to God in prayer, we need to be fully aware of the fact that were it not for the work of our Savior, were it not for His sacrifice on our behalf and His righteousness given unto us and His Spirit given unto us and empowering us, we would have no access whatsoever to God. So, every time we go to God in prayer, whether it's while you're driving in your car or you're on your knees at home, or you're in assembled with the Lord's church, you're to be cognizant of the fact that when you address God the Father, when you call upon His hallowed name, you have to remember that you're doing it through the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ, because apart from Him, you can't enter into the holy place apart from Jesus Christ. And from the point of His ascension on, the Savior would act as their advocate and their mediator in the throne of grace. All effectual prayer, effective prayer, must be offered in the name and by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what that implies is we don't come to God on our own merits or on our own goodness, but rather on the merits of the righteousness and the finished work of Jesus Christ. The name and the power of Jesus Christ must be invoked if prayer is to be acceptable to God. And it's interesting that in this passage of Scripture, in this from John 13 to 17, you have the Lord just with His disciples. And He's reiterated this truth. Go back to John 14, 13. He said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in My name, I will do it. If you love Me, keep My commandments." So He is instructing them over and over again that when they come in prayer to Almighty God, they do it in His name. And if they ask anything in His name, and by His authority, and according to His will, He's promised He will do it. Look at John 15. He reiterates this three times in these chapters. John 15, 16. "Ye have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in My name, He may give it you. And these things I command you, that ye love one another." Isn't it interesting that as the tail end of every one of these passages, the Lord talks about loving God, and that evidence of loving God is keeping His commandments. The evidence of loving God is obeying His command to love one another as brethren. You see, the Lord is preparing them for what's ahead. It's going to be a rocky road for these disciples. They're going to face persecution, affliction, and privation and difficulty. And one of the greatest refuges, a place of power, protection, solace, is when we can come to God in prayer and experience His presence and experience His power working in our lives. Do you ever stop and think what an honor, what a privilege it is that you, somebody like you, a poor sinner who came into this world as a sinner, lived your life as a sinner, you've been redeemed by the blood, and God says, "Call unto Me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." The Almighty says, "Call on Me. Talk to Me. Fellowship with Me. Come in to the secret place of the Most High. Drink in My presence and My fellowship. And rejoice in Me." And Jesus attaches this privilege and the power of prayer to joyful living. Ephesians 2:18, again, so important. We come through Christ. "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Hebrews 13:15, "By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." God is to be approached through one mediator. There's one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. You don't have We're never instructed in the Bible to ever pray to Mary or to departed saints or to loved ones. We can go directly to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And notice what's attached to prayer. He says, "Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." That's a pretty broad statement, isn't it? But it's narrowed by this: if you ask in his name, by his authority, according to his divine will. And I believe that his will is clearly revealed in the Word of God. So if you come to God in prayer and the parameters of your prayer is within the truth and the promises of the Word of God, God's going to hear you. Now, when God hears you, does that mean that he always says yes? Have you always gotten yeses? I've never always gotten yeses. You know why? Because I don't know what's best for me all the time. As I look back at my ministry and some of the prayers that I've prayed as a Christian, I'm thankful I'm alive today. I remember it was about the second or third sermon I ever preached. And I got so discouraged. And I remember I went up to my apartment. I was at the ripe old age of 22. I went up, fell on my face, began to pray, and said, "Lord, if you can't do any better than that with me, just kill me now. Just get rid of me now." He didn't answer that prayer. God had a purpose. He doesn't always... He did answer the prayer in the sense that, no, even though you probably deserve it, I'm not going to kill you now. I've got a work for you to do. But I believe that God hears me. And I don't have to go through some ritual. I don't have to say some stated words in order to get the attention of God. I can go directly to God. Sometimes my prayers may not even make a lot of sense to me, but they make all the sense to Him. Because the Spirit of God is able to work it all out. Turn over to 1 John chapter 5 in verse 13. I've always thought it's so amazing to me that God would not only hear our prayers and a lot of times answer them in the affirmative. Have you ever had a prayer answered? I mean, something really that was really big on your heart. And it's something you really are concerned about, you're praying about, you're seeking the Lord about, and you're knocking, and you're asking, and you're seeking. And the Lord actually brings it to fruition. And there's a small part of you that says, "Can you believe it? He answered this prayer." You know, that's what they did. Remember when Peter was between the two the guards, he was going to be executed the next day, and they were praying, the saints of God were praying that for him and for his deliverance, and the angel miraculously came and set him free. And Peter's knocking on the door, and was the lady's name Rhoda? She said, "Who is it? It's Peter." She got scared. I can't be. His spirit's out there. They couldn't believe that God had answered their prayer. Well, sometimes that happens to us. Oh, ye of little faith. But look at this, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. The power of prayer. Now, William Kelly said this about the verse there in John 16:23, where Jesus, again, is explaining to them that He's going to ascend up into heaven. He's not going to be there personally with them anymore, physically. And He says, "In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you." The comment of this man, he said, the Lord is really signifying the great change from recourse to Him as their Messiah on earth for every difficulty, not for questions only, but for all that they might want day by day, to that access to the Father into which He would introduce them as the accepted man and glorified Savior on high. See, at this point in the ministry of Christ and at this point in the history of this early church, I don't think they had a full understanding, a full import of what the death, the blood shedding, the resurrection of Christ would really mean to them. The Holy Spirit would be poured out upon them and give them an even greater understanding. Now verse 24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus once again intimates that there will be a change and a transition that's about to happen. Up to this point in time, they had not prayed for anything through the name and the mediation of Christ. They had followed Him. They had received His teachings. They had believed that He was the promised Messiah, as was prophesied in the Law and the Prophets. They did embrace the message that John the Baptist preached, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." They did obey when Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." But they had not yet fully realized, completely, that He was the one mediator between God and man. And after the ascension of Christ, and the sending of the Holy Spirit in power, the disciples would be required to pray in the name of Jesus for greater understanding. Turn over with me to 1 John chapter 2. I think John gives us a comment on this transition that's going to take place when the Spirit of God would be their teacher. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. I believe that's the Holy Spirit. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. They would be taught of the Spirit. Now in the latter part of John 16:24, He says, ask and ye shall receive. Do you believe that? Now I'm not a name it and claim it charismatic. I'm not a healer and a squealer. I don't believe in the nonsense that a lot of those TV preachers preach about. That you just name it and claim it. That's not even serious. In fact, I think most people's prayers are misguided. We ought to pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We ought to pray that we would hallow His name. That we would love Him. And I think our prayer life should be governed more by pleasing God and desiring to be more in line with His will than us just simply asking for things. How about if we ask, Lord, make us to love the Word of God. Lord, give us taste buds for the truth. Sanctify us with Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Lord, give us a desire to be a bolder witness, to faithfully carry the gospel message far and wide in our community and throughout the world. Give us grace to be bolder to share the gospel. Lord, give me more love for You, for my family, for my spouse, for my children. That's more important. Those are things that are of much higher priority than secondary things. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for secondary things, like food and raiment. And when He gives them to you, He says, that's what you're to be content with. That is a fascinating statement to me, because we don't think that way. We think we can only be content when every little thing is lined up and is going in our way. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know what it is to be in want, and I know what it is to abound, and I've learned, no matter where I'm at, the situation I'm in, I've learned to be content with God and His grace and His provision. And I think our prayers should be more in line with what pleases God instead of what pleases us. Now, I believe that the Lord wants you to be happy and wants you to be joyful. He says right here, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. You ever had fullness of joy? Where you got so much joy that it's just completely, you're bursting at the seams with joy. When something's full, you can't put any more in there. And I know that there are times in my life where I experience this fullness of joy. So in this latter part of verse 24, it contains a wonderful promise concerning prayer. We're invited, we're commanded by the Savior to ask in His name. And Jesus Himself promises that if we ask in His name, by His authority, according to His will, we will receive. How that ought to cheer our hearts. And and encourage us to pray. And notice also that one of the holy fruits of effectual prayer is fullness of joy. As we commune with our Lord and experience the fullness of His power, by basking in His presence, our joy will increase. Our level of joy is enhanced by the power of prayer. Now, some people, prayer is easier for them than studying the Scriptures. Just the way they're wired, just the way they're built. For me, it's the other way around. Studying the Scriptures is easy. Prayer sometimes is difficult for me. But I rest on these promises. And I go into the throne of grace even though I may not know even what to say. But I know that there is power in the presence of God. And there is joy when we come to Him by faith, realizing that He is actually listening in heaven. That He cares enough for our souls that He has bid us to come to the throne of grace and for help in time of need, at any moment, at any time, without a formula. Just call on Him. There's no greater friend than the Lord. He has time for you. Do you have time for Him? Mark it down. Those times that your prayer life decreases, you're going to also notice a significant decrease in joy. If God has promised to grant our requests and give us fullness of joy in His glorious presence, if all that's true, why don't we spend more time in prayer? Why aren't we prayerful throughout the day? Oh, that God would be pleased to show us the joy that is to be had in prayer. And what an incentive for each Christian to engage in this holy exercise each and every day. I like what John Gerhard wrote. The benefit of prayer is so great that it cannot be expressed. Prayer is the dove which, when sent out, returns again, bringing with it the olive leaf, namely, peace of heart. Prayer is the golden chain which God holds fast and lets not go until He blesses. Prayer is Moses' rod which brings forth the water of consolation out of the rock of salvation. Prayer is Samson's jawbone which smites down our enemies. Prayer is David's harp before which the evil spirit flies. Prayer is the key to heaven's treasures. And Jesus is emphasizing this over and over again. Ask in My name, and ye shall receive. And your joy will be full. May we aspire to that this week. To really be joyful in prayer. Joyful in our God. Let's all stand.